Here we left off, we were talking about the sugya of Ein Beginim and Osin Tam, or at least according to some Tanurim, Yesh Beginim and Osin Tam. And we saw that this machlokes has impact on many, many different shilas. The first impact was just in our Mishnah, in our sugya. The Mishnah tells us that if you have a tarobes, which involves a ginanosha, so you have to treat it pretty much the same as you would treat other tarobes of other Dvar Mishal Nos Tam. So, for example, if you have a piece of chaza falls into a pot, a piece of nevela, a piece of treif, etc. So it's not enough just to take the piece out. You have to reckon with the tam, how much taste has exited from this piece. Then you have to be mevatel it accordingly. Sheer bittel is. So either you have to have the goy taste it and say he doesn't taste it, or you have to have shishim, which would assure us that there's no tam. But everybody agrees that with most of the hilchos tarobes, it's not enough just to say, I don't have the item itself anymore. I have to make sure that they don't have the tam either. And the Mishnah tells us that the same is true when it comes to ginanosha. Manishtana ginanosha from other Yisurim, the Mishnah says, that when a ginanosha falls into a pot, so even if I can yank out the ginanosha, I still have to be concerned with a little bit of the tam that is emanated from the ginanosha and the same pismin. So I would have to be either eskenadju, to taste it and see whether we can discern the taste of the ginanosha, or I'd have to bring in shishim and calculate. Again, the Mishnah tells us that the halachas of nosin tam are identical for ginanosha as they are for all other treifin foods. And here the Gemara quotes a brisa that disagrees. And strangely enough, we pasuk like the brisa. We very rarely pasuk like a brisa against the Mishnah. Usually we assume that the Mishnayas are the more authoritative statements of the Tanoim. The brisa is also indicative of certain shittas in Tanoim. But if Rabbi Dan Nasi and his Beis Din were Mechriya against a certain opinion and incorporate into the Mishnah a certain view, that's 95% of the time indicative that's how we're going to pass. And once in a while, there's an exception to that rule also. But whatever the later Amoraim understood that the Ikra Loch is, in fact, not like the Mishnah, the Amoraim can even override a Stab Mishnah. That's what happened over here. We have a Stab Mishnah that's following the view of the Tanoim, the Yesh Beginim and Osin Tam. The Gemara says, Bilchus are not the way. A later of a Rav Machriya that ain't beginning in Osin Tam. And therefore, in the case of the Mishnah, so when you have a Tarobes of Yiddinoshe, you need not worry about the Nesin Estam. So that was the original Machlokes of Tanoim, the Yesh Beginim and Estam, ain't beginning in Estam. Then the Gemara branched out and said that depending on what you think about that Shaila is going to impact whether you think Yiddinoshe is also Banana. Because the starting point was that it's also Bechil, it's also Bano, unless there's a Matir. The only Matir would be, Kishahutra Nevela, Hivagi Dehutra. The Torah says that Nevela is Mutter Bano. Included in that is everything that's called a Shtik Nevela, everything that's Besar Nevela. So if you hold Yesh, Beginim, and Osin Tam, so the Ginanosh is a Shtik Nevela. And therefore the Torah was Matir, the Ginanosh, Bano. If you hold Ein Beginim, and Osin Tam, then the Ginanosh is not a Shtik Nevela, it's not a piece of Nevela, it's nothing to do with the Besar Nevela. And therefore remains Bisura Banos. That was another possible Nafkamina. Then we saw last week that Nafkamina may fall by the way. So you know, the Gemara says that explicitly was Asbisachim. The Gemara may back out from that. There may be other factors. Maybe there are other sources, Kamachim has other sugyas, that have other sources to permit Yiranash Banos, or maybe a premise that whatever's also Bechilos Banos was not even true. That was a Machlokes, Rabbi Bo and Chizkia. So that second Afkamina was a little bit shaky. But the original Afkamina, is there an Ishra of Nesin Tam, the Ginanosha? That stands, that is Dush Island, that is the Afkamina Ladina. Do we say Yesh begin with Nesin Tam? And therefore, whenever you have a Tarom Zu Ginanosha, you have to be worried about the Tam Shabo, and you have to deal with that accordingly, the Goy or Shishim. Or can I ignore the whole Tam and say, I don't see the Ginanosha, the Ginanosha itself is out of here? Tom doesn't concern me. So it's with that background that we move on now to the next issue of Yesh Beginim and Osin Tam, or Ein Beginim and Osin Tam, specifically vis-a-vis Tarobes. But we need just a little bit of a more background before we can appreciate what the 10th of the Rambam Kol Shulchan Aruch is driving at. We have to just backtrack a little bit. We have to actually backpedal really to the original Mishnah. And it's very hard to believe that we are still learning the same Mishnah. I know it is into well into Chodesh Nisan, and if I'm not mistaken, we started learning approximately Rosh Chodesh Elul. So we've gone to two full Zmanim, maybe you want to call it two full Yeshiva Zmanim, and we are still learning the same Mishnah. We shouldn't feel bad. We've seen quite a few things about the Mishnah. It's quite a loaded Mishnah. This is all of Hilchos Tarobes. So much of Hilchos Basmachov Tarobes revolves around this Mishnah, but at the end of the day, it's really just commenting on one Mishnah. So remember all the way back, Tzadivav, we introduced the Mishnah. So the Mishnah gave us two different scenarios of Taromos of Gidan Rosh. We are learning Perek Gidan Rosh. So the Mishnah does give us two different cases of a Taromos involving a Gidan Rosh. So one case was almost like what we call the worst case scenario, is when I have a Taromos of the Gid itself. How did that happen? Well, I have 25 other Gidim on the table, and the other Gidim are Mutter. Not every Gid is Usher. The animal has many, many Gidim to it. Gid just means the nerve, the sinew, whatever you want to call the translate the Gid to mean. So there are many, many Gidim that are in an animal. Obviously, one of the Gidim is a Gidim motion. So the problem is, I can't tell them, all the Gidim look the same to me. So I have 24 Gidim on the table, and 24 of them are okay. The problem is one of them is a Gidanosha. I don't have a clue which is which. So that's not a Tom issue. That's a Be'en issue. That's an Isra'atzma issue. That's a big problem. That's a huge problem. What do you do when you have a Tarobas of Gidim themselves? Forget about Tom. What do you have? There's no heat. There's no cooking. It's just a cold bowl of 25 Gidim, 24 of them being Mutter and one of them being Mutter. What do you do? So the Mishnah said, That's a big problem, Mishnah says, or a Kul Masurim, that if you have a Tarobas of 25 Gidim and you know for a fact one is a Gidim Asher, you don't know which is which, Nebuch, you have to throw out all the Gidim. Everything's treif. So the Gemara posed the question, why is that true? Why is everything treif? Based on what? Why don't we follow the age-old principle of Vitul Barov? This is one of the Gemaras that says explicitly, when you have a tarobas, biyavish, it's dry food, there's no cooking, there's no heat, there's no mixing, there's no mingling of tam, follow Rome. This is like the famous thing we have. We have three pieces of meat, three salamis, two are kosher, one is treif. As I said, I say that moshul so many times, I said it in Mashiach, so I said it to my tamid maybe 1,000 times this year. You have three salamis, two are kosher, one is treif, what happens? So I opened up my mouth too much. I kept talking about salami. So a bunch of my tamid gave me salamis for Shalach Manas. I think we just finished the last salami a couple of days ago. So we're not such big salami people. It's not exactly the healthiest food to eat. So I let my kids eat most of the salamis. So Baruch Hashem, they all gave me kosher salamis. If one time would give me a treif salami, it's nothing but that would have been a very lovely Shalach Manas. So the bottom line is, the din is that we have three pieces of meat, two kosher, one straight. So a bit of a rove. And again, we've talked about this many times. Hopefully, it's a riff to Pesach when we come back to these sugyas. Does that mean you can eat all three? Does it mean you can eat all three at different times, all three together, three different people eating all three? You can't eat all three. Those are nuances. But the ikaron, bitl took place. So the Gemara is bothered with the problem. Now you have three gidim, two are kosher, one's a gidim asher. Why does the Mishnah say that all the gidim are asher? We should say, well, forget it. The opposite is true. All the gidim should be mutter. These should be bitl barov. So the Gemara says, you're right. That really, Nikma din, bitl barov should have applied. But there's this very, very special reason why bitl barov doesn't kick in by gidim ashers. Because a gidim asher is a barrier. A gidim asher is an entity, it's a whole creature, it's a whole unit. It's a halachic unit of the animal. And therefore, we have a rule that a barrier is not bottle. Why is a barrier not bottle? So the Parshim Shad is, it's only a chumah min derabbanan. Because it's a davar chashuv. Again, we spoke about this a little bit in the past, and hopefully we're going to come back a lot of the intricacies of Bitl Barov. We've referenced, we made allusions to over the last 6 months, but we haven't learned the sugyas proper. Hopefully, Bitl Hashem after Pesach, so the big bulk of sugyas revolving around Bitl Barov are going to come our way. So comes the Gemara and says that when you have a Dovah Chashuv, so it can't be blocked up. Bitl applies to things that are negligible, things that are insignificant. A little drop of something fell in that, it's bottle. A slice of something fell in that, it's bottle. You have a davar chashuv, gam chashuv, but not bottle. It's like we've given the mashal before, it's like bittul chametz. Bittul chametz, in the end of the year, but what do we say, lashon bittul chametz, after the hour? The whole institution of bittul means that something is meaningless, something is worthless, something I don't care about. It. That's what bittul means. When something has significance to it, by definition, it can't be bottle. You have a kind of a thought of something that's staring in the face and it's so chashuv. So there are different ways in Chazal to measure chashivos. How do you know whether something is chashiv or not? So one of the criteria that Chazal uses is the notion of a barrier. If something is an entire unit, it's an entire entity, an entire creature, so that's considered to be a davar chashiv. How do Chazal know that's called a davar chashiv? So the Midvar writes in the Sefer Chulin that's part of the din d'oraisa, that normally to eat, to be chayav malchus, if you're eating something, you have to eat a kezayis. But when you're eating as a variant, you eat, let's say, a whole bug. The guy says that, eats an entire ant. So the Gemara says, Imachas yichai malchus from that. It's way less than a kezayis. It doesn't matter. What you're missing in quantity, you make up in quality. But the fact that it's qualitatively significant, it's qualitatively important, that's a whole dove, it's a whole unit, it's a whole creature, a whole entity in nature, that's called a variant. A variant is considered to be choshen. So just as there's a din that a berry is choshev vis-a-vis malchus, Chazal instituted that a berry is choshev vis-a-vis tarevis as well. And although in the Torah, all things are both built, in the Rabbanah, whenever something has significance to it, and this is called an example of significance, it's not both. So that's exactly what the Mishnah says. That's what's recorded in the Mishnah back in the Tzadivav. But if you have a tarevis, a lot of gidin, one is a gidin nosh, and the rest are mutarim. So then we should have said bitul barov. We don't tell you we definitely should have declared bitul barov. Mashmal the mishnah with the rabbanon that it's not bitul barov because it's a davachasha, because it's a barrier.
So if the gid anasha was cut in half.
Well, excellent, very good. You're getting exactly what we're getting to. Very good. So in other words, the rent says 100% right. If the anasha would be cut in half, it would be ois barrier, and then it would just be bitul based on the regular rules of bitul, right? It'll have 100%. So then the mishnah continues and says that even if you circumvented the barrier issue, namely, you could see the Gid Anosha. So if I could see, I know exactly which is the Gid Anosha, so I just yank it out. The problem is, the Mishnah says, that if it was mixed together, it was cooked together, so then the Tom is exited. Now, we know that that doesn't really interest us, that doesn't really concern us, because we happen not to paskin like the second in the Mishnah, because we accept the Tom who says, ain't beginning and I say Tom. We have to just almost like put ourselves back in the world of the Mishnah for a moment. The Mishnah says that imakiro, so then harayzim b'naisin tam. The Mishnah draws a contrast and says, im eina makiro, b'kienta, which is the gid, kulun asurim, midirabonon, because of burial. The imakiro, and if you are makiret, so you take it out, shah b'naisin tam, then you have to chesh b'na, you have tamanat, it's the goshishim, etc. And again, that part of the Mishnah we don't pass. But with that background, we now have to take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and the 10th of the Marmakonis. So the Shulchan Aruch, it's a very, very small one, a very, very short line, and it almost seems like a no-brainer. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch is saying is right. And then we stop and we say, wait a second, I can't believe the Shulchan Aruch just said this. Let's take a look at the 10th of the Ramakamas. Shulchan Aruch in Yeradeh has been kufsim beis. What if the Gidanosha fell in? This is going to be very, very similar to Mr. Brent's status case. The Gidanosha fell in, and there's heat here. There is fire here. There is cooking going on here. So there is transfer of something going on here. But they don't nikar. But the Gid Anosha is not nikar. I can't see where I'm looking into this big pot. I don't see it. It's a big pot of shulam. I see some potatoes. I can make out a piece of meat. You know, we all know that sometimes in shulams, you can never always tell. We had a few years in our shul, we had these Friday night shulam kickoffs for the kids. Different groups of kids had to join together and had to prepare shulams. And then we had a shulam, the tasting contest on Friday night. So as the Rav, my job was to taste every single one of the children. There was, and again, we had like 4 or 5 kids per children. It was 1 year, I had to taste 16 children in front of night. So when I decided, the first year I did it, by the time I got to like children 4 or 5, I was so sick. What I did the following year was, I refused to take a bowl of children. I took a mashu, a little bit of a tipa and hayam. So out of 16 children, I put together maybe one bowl of children. So, you know, kids have a lot of imagination. And they put some of the strangest things in the children. So somebody's looking around, and you have no idea what's in there. So that's exactly what the Mishnah said. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. I'm looking at this pot. I know there's a Gid Anosha in here somewhere, but it's all submished. It's all mixed up. It's all mushed up. It's all dimuch. It's all diluted. I have no idea where anything is. In a nikar. So now what do I do? So obviously, it's the Brent Stein's like, well, obviously there's no variation here. If you can't even see the Gid, obviously the Gid is not a full unit anymore. So clearly there's no barrier issue. So we don't have to ask everything. So Shulchan Aruch says, no problem. So I'm getting shishim pinegdo. Just make sure that you have shishim. Because if you don't have shishim, oh yeah, yeah, then you have a problem. Wait, I don't say Shulchan Aruch. So he'll employ, what did the Mechab mean? What does the Shulchan Aruch mean? Says so we started off the sugya by saying there are always two issues in love in every tarevis. You have to make sure you don't have the item itself. And then number two, you have to make sure that the tam is bought out. The item itself is long bottle here. The item itself is bottle barov. The item itself is the moich hagid v'enoniker. So it's not a question of a barrier. It's like the Gemara says, lift the baruba. The only reason why the Gid Anosha wasn't bottle barov was because it was intact. It was a unit. It was a whole entity. But here it's the moich hagid. It's mushed up to a children mush. So then that's not called a davar choshev. That's not called a barrier anymore. So there's no issue of the item of the Gid Anosha itself. So what are you worried about? You worried about bitul of tam? Wait a second. What do you mean you're worried about bitul of tam? Who ever heard of bitul of tam? For Gid Anosha, that was very nice in the days of the Mishnah. The Gemara has a long paskin that ain beginim in asidam. And if it's ain beginim in asidam, so then what do you need shishim kenegdo for? Shishim is a way to measure tam. But maybe I should make that thing with a question mark. Isn't shishim just a way to measure tam? Isn't the whole goal, hakol mikol kol of shishim, just to make sure there's no tam there? I know there's no tam there. I'll prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt. I have no suffering whatsoever. There's no tam there. You know why? Because the Gemara says, Hilchasa ain beginim in asidam. Chazal just told me there's no tam there. So why do I think otherwise? What am I doing? What am I measuring shishim? What am I possibly trying to determine with this experiment? When you run an experiment in the lab, you have to know what your goal is. You're not just stop throwing things through a test tube and hoping for some result. What are you trying to test? What are you trying to accomplish? So what is my goal when I start to measure? I go into the lab and I start measuring with my test tubes and my measuring cups. I'm trying to figure out, yes, shishim, yes, shishim. Tell me what you go. What is your hypothesis? What are you trying to prove in a lab with your experiment? What do you mean what I'm trying to prove? I'm trying to prove is that tam is a no pot tam. After all, isn't shishim the ultimate experiment to see whether there's tam? So we tap you on the shoulder and say, you're wasting your time doing the experiment. I know before you started that there's no tam. Really? How do you have Ruach HaKodesh? Who told you there's no tam? Who told me there's no tam? The Gemara told me there's no tam.
But you also
what
need
to wasting your
time
shishim. What you should do in the Mayach Agidi and Anikar, it should be Motel Gamri. Nothing to talk about. It should be at the Gomer.
You don't need Beetle also?
What?
Don't you need Beetle also?
I have Beetle. It's Motel Barom. I got a big Cholma. It's the Mayach Agidi and Anikar. So it has all the makings for Beetle Barom. There's Rove there, and it's Ain't Anikar. What could be wrong? The only reason why I get a nausea is generally speaking not Botel is because it's a barrier. But I'm going to have to quote you, Mr. Brandstad, against yourself. You're the one who told me that if it's a half a kid, it's not a berry anymore. So it's the Mayach Agid, ain't the cholak a berry of Bodhi Zen. So it's a pillar point, it's not my cash or Shukhanov. This is everybody's cash. Everyone's like, what the chab to me? Shukhanov just stuck in a bit of a shishim for good luck, and we have
to accomplish. But maybe the berry isn't, maybe the Gid Hanasha is attacked, and there's just other Gidim in this cholim.
No, but it's the Mayach. The Mayach means not just that, the Mayach means mush. The Mayach has already been dissolved. So it's got dissolved in a notion of Mikhbar Shohim. So Bittel Barov was more accomplished, and all I should be concerned with is Shishim, what am I Shishim for? Ain't beginning of the same time. So this is not my question. The Acharonim ready, well, the Acharonim asked this question. But in order to really appreciate this question, we should really go back a step and just see just how problematic this question is. If you take a look at the 11th of the Ma'amar Kamos, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about how, forget about Gidim Roshim, so let's talk about the elementary Gidim, Simen Tzadi Ches is the opening Simen of Mehelchus HaRoves, and the Shulchan Aruch is just paraphrasing the Gidim of Tam. How do you know the have Tam? What are the ways to experiment, what are the ways to prove in the laboratory whether you do or don't have Tam? So Shulchan Aruch goes back to the drawing board and says, well, the best way to do it is to have a Goy. Remember that, those are good old days. The Gemara says, the Imas Kfeila, you bring in your Goyish chef and you have him test. Now, we had a lot of problems with that test. We had a lot of conceptual problems with that test. They weren't problems with the test per se. They were problems with the nemanus of the tester. And so why in the world would we all of a sudden trust a non-Jew to do the testing for us? Normally, if a non-Jew tells you that that food is kosher, that's ridiculous. That's not kind of ashkoch is that. It would be a very, very sad day if you have to have a non-Jew who's testifying about whether the food is kosher or not. That's not going to be acceptable. We had a wild, wild shayla. This is like beyond the scope. This would never fly under normal circumstances, but never, because everybody knows we're in some very, very abnormal circumstances these days, and it impacts our entire lives, and it impacts Shemir Salah also. There will be svarim and svarim that are written about all these shaylas and the wild shasar chaks and kubas and mice and things that have to sometimes be invoked in order for life to continue. So there was a shayla that was presented to me a little while ago. In the end, Baruch Hashem, it ended up not to be so necessary. We have to find a better idea. But there was a certain place which required hashkacha, the kitchen that was running, cooking, whatever, preparing food, it required hashkacha. It was not a kind of a place that could just easily be closed down. It was not like the 30th restaurant in town. This was a nursing home, something that was a very, very serious issue. And how to be able to continue to function, and particularly how to be able to continue to function over Yontif. And the problem was that the person who was usually in charge of supervising this nursing home never was sick with the virus. So he was out of commission. The Mashgichim were out of commission. Everyone was out of commission. And Nebuch had 200 people who were waiting for some form of Mashgacha. So how do you do it? So one of the things that we sometimes rely upon in the world of Mashgacha, you know, we usually rely upon it with other things in place, are cameras. That in theory, as our entire life is basically working around a camera. The same way I'm giving Sharon a camera now. So in theory, if you have a few cameras positioned, sort of like you could potentially have Mashgich. You can have Mashgich sitting in Teaneck, and you can have a nursing home functioning in the middle of Ohio, whatever the nursing home is. And you can have a Mashgich who's watching everything that's going on. So he sees as the guy bringing in the packages. I can see this is all you need. I can watch them opening up the meeting. I can turn on the fires remotely. My cell phone. You can run a Bishul Yisrael. You can run a Hashkocha. Again, we don't like to do this on the norms. That's not the greatest thing. But theoretically, it's possible. But now it's starting to get more complicated. Why? Because that's beautiful for now. What are you doing, Yontif? How in the world are you going to supervise? There's things, there's food preparation, things. They're not getting deliveries necessarily in Yontif. There are other things going on Yontif. Even if there's no cooking per se, you don't want to have a kitchen that's hefkevelt for 3 days. So how in the world are you going to supervise a... So there was a suggestion that was made that we could almost, not that the Mashgiach is going to sit around with his Zoom on, with his camera on by his Seder, but there may be a boy who may be in the house anyway, who may be taking care of an old person in the house anyway, and maybe that boy could be watching on his camera, and that boy really has no reason to lie. That you have to train the guy. It's a new world. You have to train the guy to be a mashgiach. You have to train the guy to be a mashgiach over a camera, over someone sitting in a nursing home. A crazy, crazy world. So this guy, we're trusting that he's a certain type of mashgiach with the tumo. We spoke about this a little bit. He's a shtip of mashgiach. He has nothing. He has no idea what's going on. We're going to ask him, oh, by the way, did you notice anybody sitting and eating a... piece of bread, anyone munching on a box of a bag of crackers over in the kitchen right now. Again, all the food is ready and all the food is ready and all the deliveries are ready. So make sure that nothing funny goes on. So his job is to sit and watch to report back to Anyan, to report back one guy is watching another guy reporting back to Jew that none of the workers brought in a bag of pretzels into the kitchen. Baruch Hashem will get better. With great trepidation, we're trying now. We have 200 people in the nursing home, have to eat. So, if they figure out a kunz and eitza, Baruch Hashem, we didn't have to come to the kach. We were able to find somebody else. We finally found it in Mali Makom, again, 2 days till Yontif. But they found the frum fellow who was willing to, I guess, for the price is right, they would find the frum fellow was willing to sit for 3 days inside the kitchen of the nursing home to make sure that everything is going well. So, again, a strange, strange, strange world. A lot of bizarre things that are going on in all areas of halacha. So getting back to that story. So that was unofficial, off the record. So you didn't hear that story from me, but that was such things, some shadows really, really do happen these days. So back to that story. So if a guy tells me that he's called in to taste the food, the Gemara be very trust the guy, we believe him. So we should have a big problem. How do you believe him based on what? He's a guy, he doesn't have that modus. So either it's Mashgiach Bitumah, he doesn't even know that we're relying on him, or it's an Umman, he's a professional cook, and all the things we spoke about in the past. The bottom line is it would really be a great idea to bring in a guy up and come and taste it. Sometimes you don't have a guy. Sometimes you live in a place, you live in the middle of you can't find an non-Jew. There's nobody in your middle of Eretz Yisrael, you're on a Moshav, Beit Meir, you can't find an non-Jew. There's no non-Jew around. So what do? So Gemara says, all right, Nebuch, we cracked a little bit. You can't find the guy. All right, Mishka Felach, we'll give you a test to do yourselves. And the test to do yourselves is called Bittul Mishishi. Those are the ABCs of Bittul. First you try to find the guy, you can't find the guy, then you do Shishi. There are multiple to custom that we no longer do tasting, I think, like it. For a variety of reasons, we spoke about this in the past, Shach, Mush, and different reasons why the Maisa we don't do it, but Tachas, the Maisa, nobody today brings in a non-Jew and says, oh, a little bit of chaza fell into my children. Do me a favor, please just taste it and see whether you taste chaza. The mice, we don't do this. So we view it as an ancient makom. Again, for whatever technical reasons, ancient makom and tomo. But in the old days, if you if you did it the old way, the original way, Chazal, you know, originally intended to be that idei akum. So what would that mean practically? That would mean the goy would taste it. If the goy says he tastes it, the game's over. If the goy says he can't taste it, what would you do? So it's good. Finished. You don't have to do shishim. Shishim is the backup plan. Shishim is the nebuch. Shishim is the booby prize. If you can't find the goy, then you do shishim. But if you have a goy, so the goy taste it and tell you the yes or no. So that's what the shach in the 11th of Mamakomus points out. That that's poshut. That's the din. Shulchan Aruch poshut. Mash b'das mechaber. Because she ain't shem avi kicham l'tomo. Lo shem in elad avi kicham. If there's a goy around, then you have to go down the root of the goy. V'im omad the ispei tamiser. Also feel tzvei b'shishim. If the non-Jew tells you that he's tasting treifas, then you have a big problem. Now, it could be you have shishim. It could be you only have it 10,000 times of heter. But at the end of the day, the non-Jew tastes it, so that's a problem. Shishim is only available to us as a test if I don't have information. But if I already tested with the non-Jew, and the non-Jew already reported back that he tastes, he discerns the taste of the chazer, so the game's over. So of course I can't eat the food.
That wasn't shishim.
Of course. But that's what we assume, of course. Not everyone necessarily agreed to that, but we assume, of course, the non-Jew tastes the food, it's out of the question. The reason Machlekes and Poskim is that out of the question of the Raisa was only out of the question of the Rabbanan. Could one argue that the Raisa is so insignificant, it's so small, it's not even Shishim. Even if the Goy tastes it, so the people got them right, we call that almost like a Tom Kolosh. That's not a Tom, also a Tom Kolosh, but it's a weak Tom, it's a very sharp, very faint Tom. So that's a shiloh, whether that din, that if a goy tastes it, even though we know that it's so insignificant, l'mayis eshtein shukhar och, it's awesome. There's no question that's awesome. So the people got a mug is maybe that's a chumah midrabam. You're not going to be using that. But the bottom line is, if the goy tastes it, it's a problem. What about the other way around? V'yomad delays beitam mutter afilu bepachos mishishim. What if the goy tastes it and he says, I don't taste a thing. And we look at it, we see, by golly, we don't have shishim. We have a koshi of chamishim. So what's the din? It's mutter. Basically, the Shulchan Aruch says, bring in a non-Jew to taste. That's it. Whatever the non-Jew says goes. If he says he tastes it, it's awesome. If he says he can't taste it, it's mutter. The one thing that's not on the table is shishim. Shishim doesn't exist if the non-Jew is present. So what is shishim about? What's the role of shishim in halacha? So the Shach continues. The low on reading the Shach is shishim. He says, when do Chazal describe shishim? When is shishim used in halacha? If you can't figure out based on taste, why not? There's no non-Jew. There's no non-Jew around. You're not going to search the world for non-Jews. Live today. No non-Jew around. I can't have the non-Jew come to my house. What am I going to do? So there's no non-Jew available. So what am I going to do? So then and only then you rely on shishim. Oh, mimbimino. Or what if it's minbamino. What if it's, let's say, tray for chicken soup, fell into kosher chicken soup, so I'm going to bring the non-Jew to taste. And what are you going to ask him? A little tray for chicken soup fell into kosher chicken soup. You're going to ask the non-Jew, please tell me, do you taste chicken soup? So he's going to say, yeah, I taste chicken soup. Good morning. And now what? So I know it tastes chicken soup. The whole thing is chicken soup. The only time that asking the non-Jew makes any sense is if it's tray for chicken soup and potato soup. Oh, then you can ask the guy. Do you taste only potato soup? Can you discern a little bit of mash, a little deeper of chicken soup in there? So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, it's not poshut that there are two different ways to get to the same goal. The goal is to determine either yes, tam, or no tam. Everything's hinging upon tam. Either deraisa, derabanan, tam, deraisa, derabanan. Whatever the answer to that question is, everything depends upon, are we going to reach tam or not? We have to discern. We must find a way to test, is this tam or not? So Chazal set up two very, very different tracks. It's two courses of action. There are two ways. It's like on my way. Is it two ways to get to the same place? I have one destination. I'll take the FDR. I'll take the West Side. I'm gonna get to the same place eventually. But two different ways to get there. My goal is to determine yesh tam, ein tam. I can go down the route of a goy. That's actually the better way to go. That's the original, the initial way to go. And if that's not practical because there's no going around, okay, then shishim is also okay. And again, this man is there. We always go down that route of shishim. We have technical concerns, but we don't want to have the guy taste it. It comes to Shach and says, but it is clear that if I decided not to go down the route of the goy, because there's no going around, I went down the route of shishim, so great and wonderful. But if I did go down the route of the book, if I did what I was supposed to, and the goy reported back to me that there's no tam, then it's mutter, and there's no need to do shishim. And even if I do shishim, it's meaningless. And even if I test it and I don't have shishim, so what? I already cleared it with the goy. So what am I looking for shishim for? And so the Beis Yosef said, that's possible like that. Moshe Pirish, Beis Yosef, that's a Ram Kim Gainsha. So the Shach quotes from the Beis Yosef, who says this at Femish Rambam. This is like a different portion. And guess what? The Shulchan Aruch quotes this also. It's a different portion. This is the Mashmos of Shulchan Aruch. Let's just recap for a minute why this observation of the Shach is so important with Das Shulchan Aruch. It is clear as day when you have a Tarevis that unless you have some kind of a Dabach Choshev issue, which we're going to ignore for now, if all you're reckoning is Tam, if you know for a fact there's no Tam, how do I know it? The Goy told me. If you know for a fact there's no Tam, the Goy told me, I trust the Goy. Whatever the rationale to trust the Goy is, I follow what Chazal told me. I follow Rav Moshe Pinchas, and the Goy told me there's no Tam. The game is over. There is nothing else to do. Do not waste your time doing experiments in a lab of Shishim. Because even if you don't have Shishim, it's mutter anyway. You only experiment, there's a goal to experiment, like in medicine. Sometimes a doctor will say, well, I recommend you take the following test. So sometimes, I think doctors hopefully can support what I'm saying. Sometimes you'll be asked, yes or not. So what's the goal? What am I going to do with the information that I get from this test? The answer is absolutely nothing. Well, we don't really know what we're going to do with that information. So we have to take a step. So why don't we take the test one? You take it, if you're going to tell me that the outcome of the test will require the person needs surgery, doesn't need surgery, the person needs this medicine, needs this treatment, and he has to be careful about this and doesn't have to be careful about that. If you tell me there's an afkamino adina from the test, so then I answer, if you tell me that the test is stopped because someone wants to order a test, because the test there, therefore take it, that doesn't make sense. Am I okay with the doctor so far, right? The test, so far, give or take. It makes sense. You do the test. There's some kind of information that's going to help you along the line in terms of possible course of treatment. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, that what are you doing the Shishim test for? It's going to be mutter no matter what the results are. Whether it's mutter or also it's likely going to be mutter. So what are you doing the test for? So if that's the case, that once we know with absolute certainty that there's no tam, we are good to go and there's no need to have a bit of a Shishim. Let's go back now to the tenth of the Ramadan. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Gid is all crushed up, it's all dissolved up. So as Mr. Brandstad said correctly a half hour ago, there's no barrier anymore. This is better than cut in half. It's mush. A mush in Gid Anosh is not a barrier of Cholodayas. So it's the Moicha Gid Dieno Nikri, it's not Nikri Ayin. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, no, Tzorach Shishim. Why? I know that there's no Tam there. I have Ruch HaKadosh. How do I know there's no Tam there? I don't have real Ruch HaKadosh. I just read the Gemara. Vilchasa ain't beginning with no Tam. Chazal told us that there's no Tam. So if I know that there's no Tam, what am I running a test for? So when the Acharonim pose the question, they say, "V'chi das chachomim garua mitimas agoy." If the goy tells you, Mr. John Brown tells you that he tasted it and doesn't taste anything, so we say, "Thank you so much for thank you, Mr. Brown. Everything's good. Everything's mutter. No need to do shishim." Once the goy said, "There's no tam. There's no tam." If John Brown says, "There's no tam. There's no need for shishim." If Ravina and Rav Ashi told me, "There's no tam," what do we need shishim for? Ravina and Rav Ashi, but the Paskin, the Din Hilchasa ain't beginning with Tam. That is the halacha equivalent of not better than the Goy saying there's no Tam. So, what is the Shishim? That's the Pella Gold on the Shulchan Aruch. So, we saw the Shulchan Aruch and we kind of thought it was strange. What are the Shishim beginning with Tam? But then we just made the question even stronger by saying, and we know for a fact that in cases when there's no Tam, such as when the Goy says there's no Tam, you don't need Shishim. So if you don't need shishim when you know beforehand that does you know before going into the experiment that there's no tam, but in the shishim before, why is the shulchan aruch require shishim by the give you an anika?
Rabbi,
yeah.
Can we possibly say that maybe there's a like the notion of like that we started way back in the beginning of the year, like chaticha nasan avela, that if it starts off as an iser, then it you're going to need shishim to move out to bittul because it's going to be chaticha nasan avela. The whole thing is going to become
chaticha nasan avela is presupposing that something else became awesome because of Gid. Nothing became awesome because of Gid because Gid wasn't nice in time. So chaticha nasan avela can't even get off the ground.
Well, we said also with regards to let's say like an iser davar, there are times that it will chaticha nasan avela will work even if it's not
No, those are ways of measuring. It's a dovok. Those ways of measuring. Did we have a tooth two stage tarobas. Remember we said that in order for tichlas to kick in, you have to first have a tarobas that's much more limited, and then chatichlas to be able to ask and everything, and then when the tarobas number one becomes number two, then we have a bigger problem than we started with.
Right, right.
That's what we have here. We don't have a problem at all. There's nothing here. Just take the get a nosh out, and everything's good. There is no tarobas. There's no tam. So nothing's going in.
Okay.
So we have a big, big problem with the Shulchan Aruch. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to solve this problem. And of course, the root, the beginning of the solution, of course, is going to go back to the ABCs of, we've been assuming for the last 40 minutes, and could be for the last 6 months, that Bittul Mashishim is simply a way to measure time. Is that true or not? Is it only a way to measure time? Or is every once in a while, Shishim something else? Every once in a while, Shishim is wearing another hat. Shishim is trying to accomplish something different besides a mere Bittul Tam. So hopefully we have to discover what that something else is. We've alluded to it a little bit in the past, what that something else is, and see, is that something else going to be helpful here? And how to explain away, on the one hand, when the Goy tells you there's no Tam, we don't need Shishim. But when Ravina Ravashi tells you there's no Tam, then all of a sudden we do need Shishim. Manishtana, the lack of Tam between the Goy and the Amoraim, why sometimes Shishim is required, sometimes not. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll try to wrap up the final points in terms of this. Okay. So, we have a good day. We should feel well.